you know, there's like the stigma, right? Like, oh, I don't want to be like a summer sales bro. So how do you get, you know, break down that wall with these recruits?
Honestly, be the summer sales bro. Cause
own it.
Yeah. At some point, dude, like I've had that mindset too, where I like try to be too far away from that and you end up being really like passive, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or to a certain degree, you do want people to know about your accomplishments and know why they should be joining with you, right?
Yeah. Welcome everybody out to the DDD podcast. Got a special Golden Door deep dive segment for you with Mr. Tyler Wyman, who went through the blizzard to get down here from Idaho, dude. Tell me about your trip here.
Just coming down here, man. It was like a war zone. I mean, trucks were flipped over. At one point, there's like 8 cars off the road, whiteout conditions. So I get down here and there's like no snow, but I swear, man, there was something crazy going up north.
He endured blistering winds and scorching deserts.
Yeah, I fought absolutely to be here, brother.
Yeah, he texts me a picture of like this semi that's like in a ditch. Yeah. It's like, oh crap.
Hey,
like,
I did good on time though. I got here at a decent time.
I know, yeah. You were not that late.
Yeah.
So ended up working out. So glad you made it here in safety.
Yeah.
You know, those prayers definitely paid off at least. Right, so, right. Dude, we're happy to have you. Congrats on another Golden Door. Yeah, this is your second Golden Door, right?
It is. Yeah.
So how much revenue did you do this last year?
So this year I did 650 by the first week of August. And then I continued through and finished up at 676.
Okay.
Yep, 676 this year. Yeah.
Dang. Yeah, that's a lot of pest control.
It is.
What market were you in?
So this year I sold exclusively just in Portland, Oregon.
Portland, Oregon,
Vancouver, just that club of cities right there.
Northwest Coast.
Yes, I am PMW true and through. Most pest control I've sold in the last 8 years has been in those markets.
What do you like about those markets?
Oh man, like it's. Dude, the more places I explore, it's like the more I'm just in love with the Pacific Northwest, right? Just the fact that you can drive and within an hour you're in a city and then you're in these like old growth rainforests and you're passing these like epic lakes and rivers and mountaintops. Just the diversity is so sick where you got the beach there. And then if you go to the other side, you got like Mount Hood and just these like ancient volcanoes. I think the PMW is like one of the best places on earth. I think it's beautiful out there.
Yeah. A lot of people would be kind of turned off initially by going somewhere like there. Cause it's rainy. Maybe people are jerks or whatever that means. But like, what are some of your tips for knocking in the rain?
Weather. It's funny you say that. Cause I remember when I first started looking to pest control, I was talking to someone outside the industry trying to recruit me. Right. And at the end of the conversation, I think he knew that I was like pretty sold on pest control instead of the product he was offering. And he closed the conversation with, bro, if you're going to knock anywhere, please let me get you with a market that's actually good. Okay. Like don't go to Seattle, man. Don't go to Washington. Like it's too cold. Right. And, you know, hindsight 2020, it's like second year having, you know, 700 plus account summers. Right. It's just hilarious. Just the ideology of markets and what makes it good and what makes it not. But for the same reason that it's freezing cold, I think you also have less competition, right? And so everything, I don't know. I don't know if I believe in super good markets or super bad markets just because competition, there's just always something that evens it out. If it's cold, then it means maybe there's less reps. If it's hot, then it means there's more bugs. So it can have more competition. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
So, but yeah, lots of rain, dude. The first month and a half, like you're not joking. Honestly, just preparing it. I don't think there's anything. There's no such thing as bad weather, just bad clothes. Honestly, that's the fix. Maybe some mindset, being okay with getting a little wet.
There we go, dude. You gotta be willing to get wet. Yeah, in this shop.
It's just mindset, dude. You know,
like, it's just mindset. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, gosh, like not for nothing, but like what a whiny rep that's like sitting in the car in the rain.
Yeah.
It's like, just go out and just go knock in the rain.
That's the world I know, man. It's like rain is just part of it. So when I like, you know, 3 years in this, I heard of reps like apparently not knocking doors when it rains. Have you heard that crazy? And to me, wild. I was like, what? You know what I mean? Is that possible? You know? So
what's funny, people respect the hustle too. They're 100%. Like, What you doing out here?
Oh, dude, some of my favorite things is in August, man. You'll get these crazy wildfires up there, right? Either from Canada or Montana. I'm like, dude, is that like you breathe and it feels like you're smoking a cigarette. Okay. Mm-hmm. It's just like burning in the back of your throat. And that's such a good time to knock because people, that sounds so funny, but people are like, oh, get in here. Don't keep, leave the door open. You know what I mean? I'll close deals all day in late August when it's, you know, just like zero visibility because of the smoke and stuff.
So. That's the new knocking hack right there.
100%.
Go where there are wildfires.
Yeah. I guess so. Just show up where the wildfires show up.
So. I love it. So, dude, you've been in the industry for a while now. I want to hear your story. How'd you get in the industry?
Yeah. So when I was serving my church mission, I had a companion.
Where'd you go?
I went to Tucson, Arizona. So yeah, desert, great place to be. I had a companion that sold door-to-door security systems, right? And that was my first like introduction to it. And he made like 25 grand, right? And as an 18-year-old, that's like incredible, right?
Yeah.
What's funny is 18-year-old also like, I don't know, dude, maybe it's your T levels or something, but you're like way competitive. And you're like, oh man, if that guy can do it, then I can do it better, right? And nothing that this guy was like a total stud, right? That's just like typical cocky 18-year-old, right? So I got home and just started looking at companies, really everyone, right? At the point there was security, Dish was like super popular back then, solar, obviously, and then pest. I narrowed it down to pest control. What really got me with Vantage Marketing, and I feel grateful because door-to-door can be cutthroat. Companies can be cutthroat, right? I think that's fair to say. The reason why I ended up going to Vantage is like so surface level. I was like off a semester and they said I could go to Hawaii and knock doors. Right. So it's like hilarious how surface level that decision was, but how grateful I am that I just like picked the right company the first time.
Yeah.
Cause I've been with them for the last, you know, now 8 years. Right. It's pretty hard. You know, you don't find guys always that like stay with a company that long. Right.
Very true.
So, but yeah, that was it. Before I know it, dude, with like zero training. I think I read the manual once and then on the plane over to Hawaii, I read it a second time, right? Like that's all I had. Like maybe I did one role play with someone.
Yeah.
But I was knocking doors on Oahu in rain, right? Just funny, common theme, I guess, right?
Common theme, yeah.
But yeah, before I know it, I was knocking doors and you know, I was looking at videos recently of my pitch that I was like filming back then and trying to get better. And so horrendous, man. Okay? Like just had no direction, but I had hustle, man. I did not go door to door. I did not walk door to door. I ran door to door for that full month and a half I was selling.
Right? Yeah.
And because of that, it still worked out. You know, I was able to sell maybe like two accounts a day. I never had like a 6 day, right? But it was just all hustle, man. There was not an ounce of skill in that pitch. I promise you. The only way I could
just pure energy,
just energy, man. Yep. The only way maybe I got better is this is on paper. Okay. I remember knocking a door and if I felt like I lost them somewhere, I don't even know if I understood the sell cycle at that point. Right. But if I felt like I lost them, then I would write that down and try to come up with like a better solution for the next door. Right. Mm. So I really did just train myself through process of elimination over and over again. I never had like a mentor to really look up to, right?
Yeah.
Which I think was actually helpful because, you know, it really made me pave my own path, right? I had to like really double down and write out the pitch a million times, read the manual again, and just really, really hone that pitch into what it became later on, right?
Yeah.
So, but yeah, that was my intro to door-to-door. Later on, I only did that for a month and a half. And then I had spring semester at BYU Idaho. So the semesters are kind of different, as you know.
Yeah.
Right? You've been there, done
the,
that.
The trimesters.
The trimesters, yep. But then I went back for the 7 week break and I sold in Seattle and had like a great experience there. And that's kind of where the love for the Pacific Northwest started and where it continues as well.
I love that. So tell me about knocking in Hawaii, which is actually funny. A guy that we had on the podcast earlier today also knocked Hawaii.
Oh, for
too.
Real?
Yeah.
What industry was he
in? He was in solar.
Okay. Yeah.
But yeah. So,
guys kicking around for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Kind of funny. A second Hawaii knocker. What's it like out there?
There's not a lot of us, man. So, it's, bro, I don't know. I can sum it up with it's a as good as it sounds, you know, like it really is. Don't get me wrong. It's not like easier, you know, in fact, I think a lot of reps will struggle there just because I mean,
the island fever.
Yeah. Island fever. And then like, I remember, you know, the last time I was last year, right. I was knocking there for a couple months and, you know, the closest bathroom I could use was Lanikai Beach, which is like top 10 beaches in the world. Okay. And so like I show up before I'm about to get into the job, I'm going to the bathroom and just looking over this beach of all these people having fun, beautiful white sands, right? Just the most blue ocean you ever seen. And it's this cool paradox where I get to like remove myself from that, literally go to the neighborhood, like right behind that beach and just get completely crazy with knocking doors, right? Just get completely diving into it and just do like one of the harder jobs you can do. You know
what I mean? Yeah. It's like, have a bunch of fun or, go knock a bunch of doors.
Exactly. Yeah. But Hawaii has been a big part of yeah, like this industry for me, but also my wife and I just absolutely love it out there. So yeah, so the animals and the fish are super fun. Pig hunting, something that we've actually done out
pig hunting
quite a lot. Yeah.
That's
yeah.
Sick.
Yeah. That's a cool experience. Met a guy in the doors and he offered to take us and, you know, I show up at like 5 a.m. and they have a bunch of dogs. Yeah, I'm like, oh, I don't remember dogs being involved in hunting, right? I'm like, okay, where's my gun? And then he hands me a knife, right? so yeah, the dogs will find the pig and then you, that's all you got, man.
Oh, that's man. A knife, so. That's but, wild.
But yeah, no, it's a great industry. Once again, it's not necessarily like, you know, I can't say there's like good or bad markets, right?
Yeah.
But if you want to work it hard, it's, you know, it's been a good thing for me. I've really enjoyed working out there as well. Different pitch than like, you know, where I'm at in Portland. And stuff like that.
Totally.
It's a lot of fun.
So, starting out, you know, obviously you were kind of like left to figure it out on your own. Mm-hmm. Walk me through your progression. How did you turn into like, you know, that kid that's in Hawaii trying to figure out on his own to like now a double Golden Door, like a second time Golden Door winner?
Yeah. So my first like collaborative year, right? Cause it was sometime in Hawaii, sometime in the mainland, broken up from a semester about, you know, 3 to 4 months, like a summer, right? I did 160 accounts, right? So I made like 20 grand, you know,
yeah,
that, like typical summer sales. Like
your companion made more than you, dude. You lost the competition. Dude,
that hit hard, actually, man. Did it really? No, I just, I'm messing. But yeah, no. So, you know, it was just like an average year. What changed for me though is my vision, right? It's like hilarious. This nobody kid who did just as good as all the other first years, right? Essentially just changed what he wanted out of life. I enjoyed school and I think there's a great place for school. Wasn't necessarily the direction I wanted to go, right? And I wanted to own a pest control company, right?
Just, yeah.
You know, I had no reason to believe I should or like had no credentials to say that I could, right? But luckily, that's what I believed. I had a gentleman that I was working with in Seattle who had a big, beautiful company. And I looked up to that, thought that was really impressive. Right. And I burned the bridges of school. I decided I really did want to double down on pest control. And so I went from 160 accounts to my second year doing 755 in roughly
massive jump, dude,
3.5 months. Like it wasn't even out there a full summer. Cause I did leave a little bit early to get married to my wife. Best decision I made. Right?
worth it.
But yeah, it really was vision. And that was the big jump there and just honing the pitch down, getting more serious about training. Cause I really didn't have a lot to work with the first time I went out. Right.
Yeah.
And a lot of it was just off season kind of going dark and becoming a sales ninja, practicing smoke screens, and creating meat needs, getting that pitch down till it's like a science, right?
Yeah.
Just say it over and over again. I mean, you know how it is. Right?
Absolutely.
So, but yeah, I think a lot of that was the main difference from what took me from that to now being able to progress and hit Golden Door the last couple of years and have my own company as well.
Right? Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, talking about vision, mm-hmm. How did, you know, that start for you? Like, where did you develop like the want to create that vision?
Yeah. So for Golden Door, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, this comes back to the year 2021, which is a really impactful year for myself. Right. A lot of success stories, man. It's just like they keep doing better year after year after year. Not my case. All right. 2021 in particular was the worst year I ever had up to that date. Scarcity mindset crept in. I just wasn't the killer that I was in the past. I don't have excuses. It was just all on me, right?
Yeah.
And so that one bad year took ownership of it to the point where I was like pissed at myself. You know what I mean? I really was upset with what I did. I just feel like I let myself down, my business partners down, my team down, right, with my production. And it was totally door-to-door con 5 or 4, whatever.
Yeah.
Right? Whatever the year that was, where I look at these Golden Door winners and it's like, dude, I sold 755 accounts. I can do that too.
Right? Yeah.
Like if they can hit Golden Door, I can do it too. And that was really what helped the visions, honestly, the convention, right? Just seeing those guys be around those high producers. So a big issue of why I, you know, that second summer was my best summer up to that point was I really believed everything as far as like my belief was, is that I really did put my heart and soul into that summer. I was actually working way longer hours than I even worked last year, right? Roughly 12 a day. And I was just putting everything into it. You know, once again, kind of that whole maybe making up for the talent, which is hard work. And so by the end of that summer, I did exhausted, man. You
know what I mean? Yeah, totally.
But yeah, no, just going to that convention, believing that I could do more. I also used like marriage as a crutch, thinking that it'd be like irresponsible to get a Golden Door being married. Right. And that was, you know, once again, dude, the only person I have to blame is myself. Right. But yeah, it was that year that I really switched my mindset. Started working on myself more. I don't come from necessarily like a really athletic family or like an athletic background.
Yeah.
And so I started seeing value in that. Right. I decided to train for a marathon that summer before 2022. I wanted to start doing hard things.
Yeah.
Which I know, you know, a little bit about that, right?
I do. Yes.
I see you on Instagram. And stuff,
yep.
Stuff.
Day 63 for me. Nice. And running, at least a mile a day.
That's awesome.
And it's a bitch. So the lessons, it's good, but it's hard.
But the lessons you learn from that, man, are the same, the same lessons I learned.
Yeah. Right? Because it's one of those things. It's you kind of hit a decision point in every run where it's like, I'm either going to quit or I'm going to keep going.
100%.
And then it's like the moment you decide that you're going to keep going, it's like, I don't care how long I have. It's like, I know for a fact I'm going to get it because I've made that decision.
You committed.
You know, and that's such a powerful life lesson.
Yeah.
Because it's the same with the doors.
100%. 100%. So that same lesson that you learned, man, as far as like committing to it while running, I learned as well.
Yeah.
And so it was like April 1st. I ran a marathon. Okay. Mm-hmm. April 2nd was a Sunday that I had to move like my entire house into the apartment. Right.
Yeah.
So
full. Oh yeah. Gosh, you're dude. Dead.
After running a marathon, like of course we lived on the third story, you know what I mean? And then April 3rd, I'm knocking doors and on my way to get my first Golden Door. Right. So that was some of the progression there. And honestly, vision, just doing hard things on the off season, crazy to do hard things during the on season.
Totally.
Indeed. That whole summer, man, the 2022 Golden Door, man, I worked every day, never took a day off, never went home early from April clear into November. Okay. From Portland summer, everyone's home for the fall and I'm still in Hawaii knocking doors that year. Right. So that was like a total, you know, it's funny. I ran a marathon, then I ended up selling a marathon. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, luckily 2023 got it done way quicker than that. Right.
Totally.
But that was kind of like the vision building that led up to the first Golden Door.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's like the principle of like stacking W's, doing hard things, doing things you never like knew you could do before.
100%.
Like I remember my kind of like breakout year when I was selling was like, I did the exact same thing. I like taught myself how to run, like I went and did a half marathon. And it was like, that was very impactful for me because of those same lessons. And it was like, I got a little lazy, got a little comfy. So now I'm in that process of building that back up now. But it's amazing what it does for your life. Like doing those hard things and like stacking those wins, building that confidence back up. Right. So
when you mentioned that, Roz, yeah, all I hear is you made a commitment to yourself and you kept it.
Yeah.
And that's what brings confidence.
Absolutely.
Right? And it just momentum. And then that's the same thing with sales, man. Like I make a commitment to myself that I'm going to finish the day. I'm going to finish it hard. I'm going to focus on working the hours and not necessarily the results. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as I do, I have confidence that day and I'll have confidence the next. And that's how I went from April to November, knocking every day without a single degree, a single ounce of burnout, right? It was just, I hit Golden Door and kept knocking. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
That was a crazy year. It's truly a marathon, right?
I love that. I love that. So now I kind of want to shift gears into leadership.
Mm-hmm.
You're in kind of a cool, unique position in your company where you're a big part owner of the company. So kind of tell me about that.
Yeah. So, you know, the vision of owning my own pest control company came true in 2020, right before COVID hit, right? Definitely you bring on some responsibilities. It's like totally different getting paid a commission versus paying the commission. Right. So it is a little bit different. But at the same time, as far as like continued vision, in my opinion, there's like nothing more rewarding than putting customers down that, you know, your technicians are going to take care of and that are going to continue to be their customers over and over again.
Right? Totally.
And so, you know, the experience with like owning my own company, man, like, you know, 2019, my last year of marketing for someone else, honestly, kind of felt like the vision was kind of dying for me, right? Like, what's next? I don't want to be a sales monkey my whole life, right?
Yeah.
And that's what really got me excited and kind of revamped what I wanted to do is starting my own company in Oregon, right? And going through that process. But yeah, it was trippy, man. 2020, COVID hits, you know, it's kind of one of those things like, oh, do we do this or not? Just because there's so much unknowns.
Oh, yeah.
If you haven't heard, Oregon took it pretty seriously too. You know what I mean? it was like a big deal, right?
Yeah.
But we went for it. Rented a house like 10 minutes away from Portland. There's a lot of civil unrest that year as well.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
But I put like my entire sales force and my technician force in like this 4-bedroom house in Portland, Oregon, right? We ran correlations out of our garage and we had like 10 guys there in not a 2-car garage, but a 1-car garage. Okay. Like big difference, man.
Totally.
But it was a great year. Yeah. The team did well and we had a really good first base and density for our technicians to service that year. And from there to now, we had 2 full-time technicians. Now we have like 14 full-time guys running routes out there right now. I can't talk about the process of building a company without mentioning my business partners are phenomenal. Totally. Right? So Tom and Shannon, some of you know, but Matt and Ryan are the guys that are really holding down the fort, making things work. And then technicians too. Patrick, Brock, and Tracy are the 2 that came down from like the main branch in Seattle and helped me do Portland. And they've been amazing to work with, just people that really take ownership of your branch. Right. And really like own it. Just coming down here, I got a text from Tracy, actually like runs a lot of the office stuff. And she's like upset about some like customers being saved and the prices being too low. Right. And
yeah.
I feel like they're ripping off my technicians. I feel like they're ripping off you. And that's exactly the people that you want to have in your core. And they just totally run an amazing program, amazing show out there.
Yeah. I love that. So you have great people around you. I mean, that's a crazy story too. Just like, cause I remember that was the first year I started knocking.
It's a good year to knock.
Where it was like so much uncertainty. I remember signing on and it was like, then it was like the lockdown happened.
Yeah.
And it was like, am I even going to go out and do this? Like, like, can we?
Where were you knocking that?
In Alabama.
Okay. So you picked a good place to knock doors though. I bet. So.
Yeah. It was a good time. But I absolutely love that. So now you're running things out of Rexburg, Idaho, of all places. Big old cold Rexburg.
Yeah, it is cold. Very different than Hawaii, where I'm hanging out.
Yeah. So what's interesting about Rexburg, so I spent some time up there. I met my wife there, BYU Idaho. I want to talk about like recruiting in kind of like a saturated market.
Yeah.
Because if you go up to Rexburg, one of the first things you see is the Alder Building, which seriously, I used to live behind there. And they actually make some pretty badass homemade pizza. I don't know if you've ever gotten it.
You got lunch there, huh?
Dude, I got freaking lunch there all the time.
Take out close to home. That's awesome.
And funny story about that too. I would like pretend I was like a fresh rep kind of thing, where they would like start talking to me and they're like, oh, so what do you want to do? With like, oh, I want to like invest and like learn like real estate investing, like, you know, just kind of like this, like lay down recruit. Yeah. And they'd be like, you could just see it in their eyes where they're like, oh, we got to lay down. We got to get so it. We got to talk to you. Like, have you ever thought about doing sales? I was like, yeah, absolutely. I've thought, like, that's hilarious. And I'm just eating the pizza. Oh, cruel man I was. But anyways.
Hey guys, thanks so much for listening. Real quick interruption. I know you're probably getting massive value, but check this out. March 21st through the 23rd, we are hosting a sales summit, 3-day experience where we have the best, Mike O'Donnell, Luke Ward, Dan Warlock, like so many really good trainers breaking out and doing more hands-on role-playing for 3 hours, not like some keynote, not some like whatever. This is a sales event, meaning there's no other really good sales conference out there. We have William Lamb training on neuro-linguistic programming, Michael Bernhoff training on influence hacks and how to hypnotize the subliminal conscious. I'm talking like high-level sales training. And so March 21st through the 23rd, if you want to level up your sales, learn high-level influence tactics, you're not going to want to miss this. Go to theddexperts.com, look for Sales Summit, schedule a demo if you want to have any questions. And I hope to see you and your team there.
You know, you got the, you know, obviously, you know, the Vantage office out there, the Moxie office is there. It's like, you got everything under the sun.
Yeah.
Tell me about recruiting in a saturated area.
Yeah. Rexburg's funny because, you know, obviously in Utah, there's a ton of companies too, but it's just because Rexburg's so freaking small that you're right. It feels like my next door neighbors is like another marketing company. Right.
Yeah.
But, I like recruiting Rexburg, and that's why I decided to keep being there. Right. Honestly, I think the biggest thing you can do there specifically is just be different. I don't know exactly what the pulse is on all the top producing reps in that area, but I know being a Golden Door winner or a double Golden Door winner definitely separates me from like other options there. Right. And so, as an owner, I don't, you know, most owners aren't out there grinding doors like myself or like getting Golden Doors. Right. I'd say it's more uncommon than not. Right. But the reason why I do it is to really distinguish myself, but not just for me, but also for my reps. You know, I want them to feel like they have a place to recruit to where they really do have something different, right? Where you can get knowledge from a Golden Door winner and use my pitch word for word. They have access to anything I know. Right. So I'd say that's the biggest thing is just being distinguished and continue to do hard things, put yourself out there and be in the community.
Yeah, absolutely. Because it's always funny, you know, recruiting in an area like that, because a lot of people are also kind of like, you know, there's like the stigma,
right?
Like, oh, I don't want to be like a summer sales bro. So how do you get, you know, break down that wall with these recruits?
Honestly, be the summer sales bro.
Own it.
Yeah. At some point, dude, like I've had that mindset too, where I like try to be too far away from that and you end up being really like passive, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or to a certain degree, you do want people to know about your accomplishments and know why they should be joining with you. Right.
Yeah.
So the, you know, I mean, that's some thoughts that I have on that subject at least. Right.
Yeah, totally. Well, it's funny. Cause it's like, I feel like most like students up there that hate on it secretly want to be part of it.
Well, that's the funny thing is I'll be in recruiting meetings and I'll hear guys being like, yeah, man, I'm just not interested in the money, right? It's like, what?
I'm just not interested in the money.
Dude, you'll get that, what? Right? It's this attitude of like being like kind of like too cool. Like, I don't need
the money. I'm humble.
Right. But then you just gotta calm out. It's like, bro, money is a good thing. It helps you be free, right? There's so many good things you can do with money, right? Like, why would you try to make it as this not thing you don't need or thing that's not important to life? How important to your family. You know, if you can't think of yourself having money now, just think about what important it is for your family in the future that you have, you know, some sort of security, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, ultimately, that's why I do this job, is to provide for my wife and our baby that's coming in April, right?
Oh, hey, so, yeah. We're doing March.
Hey, heck yeah,
let's go.
Our kids should hang out, man.
Absolutely. You having a boy or girl?
Girl.
Nice, me
girl.
Too.
Okay.
Yeah, so, yeah. Our girls are going to be friends. Let's go.
Yeah, I thought I wanted a boy, man. And then my wife got me all excited about a girl. And we did our first ultrasound. And it was like way too early to actually tell.
Yeah.
But the ultrasound tech told us anyways. And she's like, yeah, you're having a boy. I'm like, oh. She said that. Can you believe that?
Yeah.
We got the blood test.
How many weeks were you at that point?
Dude, I want to say she was trying to tell us at like 10 weeks or something.
That's too early.
Way early, right? But apparently there's an angle of the dangle, which is like their spine or something like that.
Interesting.
Totally got it wrong. The blood test came back as a girl, and my wife and I are like so excited.
Yeah. No, it was funny because when my wife first got pregnant, it was like, oh, it's a girl.
Yeah.
Like I just always wanted to be a girl dad.
Right.
I'm like, yeah, it's a girl. And then
manifested it.
Man. And then it was like, I got in my head about it and I was like, oh no, it's probably a boy. Cause like, I got to learn how to be like, you know, the father, like what, you know what I mean? Yeah, like I got to be like a father to a boy. Like, you know, it's a big thing. And so I like tricked myself that it was a boy. And then we get the blood test back and it's a girl. And I was like, kind of flipped on my head a little bit. I was like, what the heck? But it's so exciting.
Oh, so exciting.
It's like the best thing that's ever happened to me, honestly.
Yeah.
So, and this is your guys' first.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So
first.
Yeah. It changes things. And I kind of speaking to that, it changes the why. It makes it a lot deeper. So, and you know, there are added complications, added problems, of course, moving forward, because you're due in April. That's like right when summer starts.
Yeah. We're trying to figure that out right now.
And it's absolutely crazy. So kind of speaking to maybe not that specifically, but just like challenges in general, like, because we know crap's going to hit the fan. We know things are going to get inconvenient. You know, even just being married is a little bit of an inconvenience sometimes, or at least we try to tell ourselves that.
Yes.
How, you know, navigating things like that in the summer, what kind of tips do you have on that?
Yeah, good. So don't fall in the trap that I did fall into. Okay. Like I've been there, right? Where I thought as a married man, it'd be irresponsible to do the best I could in life. Isn't that so ridiculous? Right. But that really was like that scarcity mindset I had, right? Where it's like irresponsible. Whereas now getting these last two golden doors and working so hard during the summer, right? Just putting in all the effort, being so dedicated, like not answering texts on the doors, you know, just all of that actually has led to, in my opinion, a way better relationship with my wife. Our wives or people that care about us want to see us win. They want to see us be successful, right? So same with baby. Obviously, adjustments need to be made and changes are going to be made, right?
Yeah.
But you just can't let things like that get you back into that scarcity mindset. You need to have that abundance mindset that you can still be successful with this. You know, you're doing it with your kid and ultimately like I do this to be with my family, to be with my wife.
Yeah.
Right. Kind of, you know, Be Real, right? Do you have that app where,
what's it called?
Be Real social media. Okay. So how it works is it's a really simplified social media. It notifies you randomly throughout the day and you got to take a selfie like right then and there. Right.
Interesting.
So it's like the real social media.
That's actually kind of,
it's really fun. Yeah. You should download it. Cause you don't like, waste a lot of time on it either. Like Instagram.
Yeah.
You
know? Yeah.
And then as soon as it goes off, you kind of get to see where all your friends are doing. And half the time they're like with babies and I throw up all over them. And stuff like that. You know what I mean? Like you really do have to take it like right then and there. But I'll go back on those and it's kind of like a diary and it's like so cool. Because of how much time I get to spend with my wife. Like she's in a lot of those Be Reals, right? Yeah. And they're just randomly taken the morning, afternoon, and night, but it's like, I'm always with my wife, Andy, right? And so it's just, it's like a cool thing. But challenges, yeah, I mean, stuff's always going to hit the fan and there's always going to be concern. You know, it's just, you meet those people that on the doors that can't afford pest control because their car just broke down or, you know, they got to do this and their kids are going to school, right? But the reality is that's just life. There's always going to be challenges that pop up and you just got to be ready for that and just understand that there's things within your power to get past those and to push past those and ultimately become successful. Right.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, kind of like what you're talking about with like, you know, you're going to meet the guy that his car just broke down or things like that, but then turning it into like a sales opportunity is like, you know, what's the problem? Identify the problem and then present the solution. The same thing in life.
Exactly.
It's like, what are the problems? Like, let's identify the problems and then let's create solutions around those problems.
Yeah. Life is a sales cycle. We should copyright that.
Ooh.
I like that.
We should write a book.
There you go.
Life is a sales cycle. Let's go, hey, dude.
Create, need, meet, need, resolve, concern. Keep pushing, man.
Keep pushing. Some guy wrote a book. I've been seeing, he always is posting on it on the Tribe Facebook page. Mm-hmm. Like every comment someone puts on there, he always comments back with his like Amazon link. It's like a door knocker's guide to the universe, I think is what it's called. Okay. I'm like, I gotta check that out one of these days.
Yeah.
Like I would be interested to see like, because there's so many life parallels in this job, and it's amazing what this job teaches you about and prepares you for with life.
Right.
Because again, it's like having a kid, having a wife, like being a family man, all the unknowns that come up with that.
Right.
And then think about the doors. What are all the unknowns that come up with that? But then how do we be successful while we're on the doors?
100%.
It's just kind of keep moving on and keep the vision.
100%.
You know what I mean?
I think of each summer as like a mini life, man, right?
Yeah.
Where you know, come August, you look back to April and you feel like you're like a baby, right? And I've doing that for seven summers in a row, you know what I mean? But every summer you learn something, whereas that first summer you're like learning about mental toughness and like sticking to it, right? And then maybe the next summer you come out with a team and you learn how to guide a team and help them be successful. And the next summer you learn how to actually really push through those barriers of vision and what you can actually do and really be successful, right? But there's always just little lessons and parallels that you're going to find every single summer, right?
Yeah.
So I think anyone that did summer sales or did a summer could write a book about it and be phenomenal.
I know. I'm waiting for a bestseller book.
Yeah.
Now that I'm sure guys have posted things. Sam's written books and stuff too, but yeah,
100%.
Also it's just like one of those things that, you know, it's hilarious. Yeah. The job, like who would have thought like as like little kids, it's like, oh yeah, one day you're going to be knocking doors, selling pest control.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, you're gonna make great money doing it too, and you're gonna like learn all these crazy life lessons, and it's gonna be absolutely wild.
All right. So well, dude, you got me convinced I'm gonna write a book, because with ChatGTP anything's possible.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I freaking love ChatGPT. Yeah. Yeah. Everyone has that moment where they discover ChatGPT and they're like before and after. And it's like, I remember first I'm like, oh man, this is like insane, it'll create anything, and then you kind of like realize its limits too. Yeah. But it is it's cool, like, you know, moving into the future, and Sam's really embracing stuff like that.
You think it's going to change door knocking? It already has.
Yes and no, cool, especially with like apps like Xero.
Yeah,
that's and like things like that, where it's like we're using AI to like better our sales presentations and pitches. It's like, I think it's only going to help us,
right?
And especially it's like, as far as like a marketing perspective, if it gets more awareness out, I mean, in the end, that's only going to help us as well.
Mm-hmm. 100%. That's your world, dude. I'm just living in it. It all goes over my head. that would be interesting to see if stuff like that does impact it moving forward. Right.
Yeah, absolutely. I would just hate for like, you know, reps to, you know, outsource like their customer service to AI, or I don't know, you know what? Yeah. I mean, where like they take like the human element out of it, but
I get it.
You know, definitely, you know, it can be a tool, or it can be a tool of destruction. So.
Yeah. Yeah. It'll be interesting to see how it impacts things for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. So, kind of going back to, this summer. So Portland, mm-hmm. Oregon,
yes,
what's like the biggest, obstacle in selling Portland, Oregon?
Yeah. Oregon, you know, I would say the fact that it isn't like warm year round does impact how you sell a little bit, right? Just because you will get some of the concerns with like, oh, what happens where it's in the winter, right? It doesn't really snow in the city, but sometimes in some other areas where you just like go up in a little bit of elevation, you
get
a little bit of that snow. And that's not a concern that guys haven't ran into before. I mean, there's plenty of markets where people are dealing with that, but I'd say that's one of the concerns as far as selling there, an obstacle, right? The solution to that, and this is kind of a takeaway just from, you know, a pitch. It's funny because I do sell very different in like a really warm market like Hawaii versus a cooler market like the Northwest, where every single time I go into a pitch, I'm not selling them on the ant problem they have or the wasp concern that they have right now. It's always preventative, mm-hmm. right? So even in my introduction, I'll start off using the words like, hey, if you can get it done early before the ants show up, I can get you done with all these other neighbors and do it for super cheap, right? So it's always preventative. That's one way I've overcome that obstacle. But honestly, even if you're selling in Texas or Arizona or just, you know, a more traditional market, maybe I would still use that, because then you're able to sell people I mean, you can't get a golden door off of just selling people with bug issues, right? It wouldn't be possible. You gotta really open up that realm that you can hit as far as everyone. You gotta be selling a lot of preventative accounts. I mean, April, May, man, like there's not bugs to be seen. Ant trails, you will not see that till like August, man. You know? And so it really is every single person I talk to, I'm selling them on concerns that are gonna come up, not the concerns they have already.
Right. Mm. What's the biggest way to get them to open up to that?
Yeah. For me, I sell preventative and I'll sell cycle them on preventative until it's not, right?
Yeah.
So when they bring up the fact that they have an ant issue, boom, I'm like on that, pressing that hot button over and over again. You know, I have three different pitches specifically for the ant concern that they have in their garage or whatever that looks like. Right. So when I zero in on an answer, eventually they're going to tell you what it is, as long as you're able to spend time with them and keep talking to them. Right. But yeah, it can take a good 5, 6, 7 minutes for them to even start bringing up concerns. I remember one time, this was early on in Hawaii. I was knocking a door, giving the pitch. He immediately hits me with a smoke screen. Hey man, I don't have bugs. Right. And so I blew past it just like I committed to myself to do, right? And I kept cell cycling him. And then really quickly after, I closed him and he just said yes. And I was like stunned, right? I was like, dude, what happened? I thought you didn't have any bugs, right? And so we're going
customers through, are such liars.
Exactly. Do they always lying to you, right?
Yeah.
But I go to the notes section, and this is like, you know, I could have messed it up, but I was almost like, so what do you want us to do for you, right? Like, I didn't even know what to put in the notes. Really novice like question to ask, right? And he's like, no, yeah, I want you to kill the ant colony that's living in my couch. Like, what? You know what I mean? So just, you know, don't trust them, man. They're all liars, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, that smoke can get heavy.
Living in my couch.
Yeah, can you believe that? And the first thing he hits me with is, no, man, I don't have any bugs. And they're in his couch, man. To this day, I've never heard of someone like living with ants that closely, you know?
That's so wild to me. Yeah. And it's one of those things where it's like, you know, they're just saying that because they don't trust you, you know? And if you just keep with the process, because a lot of guys, and this, we talk about this on the podcast all the time, where it's like a lot of guys, they get uncomfortable and they just dip and they just are like, okay, well, like he says he doesn't have a problem, so like, I'm not going to bug him.
Trust him. Yep.
It's like, you know what? If you keep with the process, you're going to eventually get that loose brick and you're going to get that problem identified. And then boom, that's your moment to strike.
Right. You know, I think a solution for reps, if they feel that, is they need to be the one to get sold. Right. So I remember this one time where I got like a new iPhone, and as soon as you get a new iPhone, what do you need? An iPhone case. Right.
Yep.
And so I'm on Amazon looking up iPhone cases, and I like end up going to the mall the next day, and some guy at a kiosk jumps out in front of me. He's like, hey man, come get a cell phone case. What did I tell him? Bro, I'm not interested. I'm good. I want to. You know, like I'm giving him smoke screens, right?
Oh my gosh.
So something even better happened. Okay. Summer 2022, when I was like in ninja mode preparing for this golden door, I was going to get the most beautiful thing happened in Rexburg, Idaho. Okay. I'm sitting there at home and someone knocks on my door.
I've been
waiting for this.
Okay? I want this to happen.
Waiting for this, right? And you know, of course, there's a little bit of me that's like, oh, yeah, I want to support door to door guys. You know, how can I not? Yeah. I've done so many years and I've had so many people say yes to me, right? He was selling a Kirby vacuum, dude. That's like kind of a hard thing. That's a hard thing to like pity buy from someone.
That's an expensive pity buy.
Like a $3,000 vacuum, right? But this guy was a killer, man. He like gone to my house. He's like, dude, this freaking vacuum is like a transformer, dude, right? He has me pull out my vacuum and compare it to him, his vacuum. And this, you know, the Kirby vacuum has like chrome on it. It's got like a transmission, man. Like that thing looks like a Lamborghini.
Yeah.
And I've been driving a Civic. You know what I mean? Obviously I want to support him. And then he gives me the price, and it was like $3,500 for a vacuum.
Right? Yeah.
I was like, oh man, dude, I really want to help you, but that's a lot steep. Of money. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but what did he do when I'm like, man, that's too much. He cell cycled me, right? He like brought me up to my room and started vacuuming my bed and like showing me all this lint on my bed, you know, these skin particles that I've been living with this whole time and Now I'm just completely disgusted, even though I was sleeping in that bed the night before, you know? but then he keeps whittling the price down and it like in the most epic fashion, he like writes it down on a piece of paper and like slides it over to me. Right. And he got it cheap enough to where I could say, okay. Right. And I totally bought a vacuum from this guy. But what was the most valuable thing of that lesson is being on the other side and like, I did want that vacuum. Okay. It was It's a pretty sick vacuum, but mostly I wanted to like support the guy. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I could like hear the concerns coming out of my mouth. I could hear the smoke screens coming out of my own mouth. And then by the time I got to the doors the following summer, I was never going to believe
it was
over. I got like trust issues from that guy just because I couldn't even trust myself. So the people I'm knocking into, like, you know, they give me any concern. They got to tell me that like three times or else I'm not believing it, you know?
I love that. That is so funny. Dude, I've always wondered, what is even the pitch to get a Kirby vacuum?
Oh, I'll send him your way, man. I got him on Instagram somewhere.
That's hilarious. You couldn't recruit him?
You know, the different ways of life for different people, right? He's a little older guy and stuff like that. But maybe we'll... I got my Instagram. Maybe he'll come out.
I'll
send this podcast to him.
Let's go, Kirby vacuum guy.
No, could you not though?
Respect for those guys.
Oh, so anyone that knocks doors, man. Anyone. Matter the industry, company, right? There's mad respect. Like we're a different breed when we knock doors, right? You got to respect each other for that.
You have to, yeah.
But with this guy in particular, sure. I spent a decent amount of money on that vacuum, but I promise you that lesson I learned there paid dividends as far as the summer after that, right? And then that was my first golden door. And I like really do attribute some of my success to that experience.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's a great story. And it's interesting too, because it's like, imagine if he'd given up.
Yeah.
Like the first no he got.
When he showed up, I wanted to support him, but there was no way that vacuum was going to end up in my room, right?
Yeah.
Just like every single person I talked to when they first see me, there is no way they're going to have a pest control guide later that day. And then what happens? They have a pest control guy sweeping their eaves an hour later, doing the crack and crevice treatment and granulating the yard.
Right? Yep.
So yeah, that was a really, really cool experience to actually be on the other side of that. I love going to like county fairs because they always have those like booths, right?
Yeah.
And sometimes you'll find some killers in there with shoes and stuff like that. And I just want them to sell to me because without a doubt, every time I'm going to like learn something and walk away with it.
Yeah.
I'm still learning, man. You know, I've been doing this for a minute, but there's still lessons to learn in sales. You got to keep learning. You got to keep growing. You got to be humble, right?
Absolutely. Always be a sponge. Mm-hmm. And always, you know, everyone's your superior in at least a couple ways.
100%.
So especially when it comes to other salesmen.
Yes.
Can you imagine if you've been like super closed off and like didn't even want to learn from him and like... Just imagine, you know, like you're talking about, like the return on that has been absolutely wild.
No, like low key core memory. You know what I mean? Like
yeah.
For sales, it happened like 2 years ago, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And I hope the vacuum has been amazing for
you. It's been great. Yeah. No, like legit, dude, that thing has like a transmission in it. Like it goes by itself. It's so much fun.
That's amazing. It goes by itself.
I don't know how to, like when the guy was showing me it, man, like he was like pressing buttons and pulling parts off and like making it into like a carpet cleaner, and then he like switched some things around, and all of a sudden it was like an airplane. No, I'm just joking.
Just like a transformer. He just hops on it. Yeah, and it just takes a ride.
Starts talking to you. It's like I am Optimus Vacuum, but no, it's been a good vacuum. So
that's amazing, man. So shifting gears a little bit, just kind of as we're wrapping up, what are you looking forward to with DDDCon this year?
Yeah, no, I'm excited to learn. Instagram's so much fun, dude. Just because you do get to connect with all these other killers and other Golden Door winners.
So true.
Not that there's actually like this little club, but when you hit Golden Door, you just got to have respect for another guy.
Making it a club, dude.
I'll come, man. Sounds good. I'll bring crackers or something. So, but it's like, you know, it's just, yeah, you got to have some respect and you do develop some friendships with guys. So yeah. I love Door to Door Con just because of, you know, the networking opportunities as far as just like meeting people and being able to learn from them. Right.
Yeah.
I think it's such a cool opportunity just to come together and kind of celebrate what we're doing and go back into what we're doing and be successful in it.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. Well, dude, we're excited to have you on the stage mm-hmm. for your second Golden Door.
Yes.
You got to keep up the trend.
Oh, we'll see. Yeah. We'll see. Definitely not slowing down.
But you can't. But anyways, do you have any parting words for the industry?
You know, I'd sum up with this. It's something that you hear all the time, right? But it really is about creating a vision and then trusting the process to get there, right? So, focus on what you can put in today, not necessarily what you can put out of the day. I remember specifically this one day this year was like by far the most successful year I've ever had, you know, hitting Golden Door by first week of August, right? I had some reps coming in and, you know, they transferred from another company. And I kind of wanted to really impress them, you know, throw on like a big day before they got there so I could report numbers the next day. And of course it was that day where I sold one account. And I worked as hard as any other day. I was in hood that I thought I'd just completely perform well in. Right. And I had to show up the next day with these new guys coming in and be like, yeah, Tyler Wyman, goal of, you know, 6K, did one account, you know? But I wasn't at all upset about that just because I know that I put as much effort into that day than I did into any other day. Right. Yeah. And when you focus on the inputs, the outputs are going to happen every single time.
Yeah. You just got to stick with it.
Got to stick with it. Yeah.
Love it. Well, dude, thank you for hopping on. Yeah. Guys, this has been the Golden Door Deep Dive segment. Keep tuning in for all the tips and tricks on how you can become a Golden Door winner.